I might. I listen to the testimonies and I enjoy them. And one of the things that stuck out in my mind, different people talk about fearing the judgment. The Word of God said it is by the fear of God that men depart from evil. A kid that doesn't fear his parents will go his own way. And his own way will be the wrong way. I love my daddy dearly. And I obeyed him because I loved him. I love my mother dearly. But I obeyed her because I knew I'd be in serious trouble if I didn't. But it is when people fear God that they obey God. I ask folks every once in a while now if they believe the Word of God, and they will all say they do, and most don't. But I looked around tonight, and there's a good many people here, and there's a scripture that I wanted to read, maybe a couple in the book of Hebrews. I already opened up to it. Therefore, that's not the one I want to read first. I want to read another one over here a little further over. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. When I started out with the Lord, they mentioned the little old lady that remembered how that the Lord ran a whole bunch of us in the church house. But I tell you what I thought. A few days ago, I carried my wife and my daughter out to eat at Ryan's after church. When we got there, the whole place was full of people, and there's this great big black guy, about 290 pounds, I guess. Just a mighty man. And I knew him from doing business with the company he worked with and what have you. And he saw me back there in line, and he run back there and hugged me, started to introduce me to these people that was around. And these people claim holiness. As a matter of fact, they have the old Burns Avenue Holiness Church in Huntsville. But anyway, he started to introduce me around to the people. And first thing I noticed about these people, every one of them showed a lot of love. But right next to it, every one of them, they was the best dressed people in that restaurant. And not only was they friendly with me, Brother LJ, but they was friendly with everybody. They was happy. And then when they found out that I called him Big John all the time, that he and I were friends, whole bunch of them wanted to come by and talk with me a while. Some of them told me they was coming over to see us. I says, come ahead, you'll be welcome. But it was sure different in 1951, last part of July, July the 29th. It was a different story. But today, people who have received the love of God in their heart, shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, then they know how to behave themselves. Don't tell me that you don't know how to behave yourself if God gave you His Spirit. Because listen to what He said. He said, this is a covenant that I'll make with them after those days. I'll put my laws into their heart. I believe I'll talk about that law that he puts in people's heart just a minute. Wasn't what I was going to talk about, but I might as well, because we got all these young people here. And I did this one time about 30 years ago. One Sunday morning, in that evening service, this little girl about this high walked up there to me and stood there, and she memorized every one of those laws. Not that many of them. The first one is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not take unto thyself any graven image. I was down in Mobile. We had one of those all-night services at the little church over near Russellville, Green Acres. And I was in Mobile, and I wanted to make it up there for service, so I came up Highway 43 all the way out of Mobile. Bad move, a lot of crooks, but what have you. As I went, I noticed all the Christmas trees and all the decorations and the big lit signs and what have you. And it wasn't any signs to speak of at all saying Merry Christmas. It was saying Merry Xmas. They didn't want Christ in there. But sitting over there was a little statue they called Santa Claus. And as I drove that, couple of hundred miles, I guess, up there, long ways, I guess there was 1,000 of them. And I thought, thou shalt not take unto thyself any image of anything from the heaven above, of the earth, of the sea, or beneath the earth. You shall not make a graven image of it. And I thought, our whole nation has turned to idolatry. And when I got to service that night, I told the people, you've been telling your children there's a Santa Claus, and he knows whether you've been good or bad. And if you've been good, he's going to reward you. And if you've been bad, he's not. And I said, when they grow up and they find out you've been lying to them about that, then you're going to start telling them about Jesus. And they're going to think you're lying again. The third one of those laws is thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's simple, isn't it? And don't tell me you can run around here using God's name loosely. If you've got the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will teach you, don't do that. The old scribes and translators of the Bible, according to history, used to, when they was writing and translating the Bible into different languages, when they run across the name God, Jehovah God, before they would write that name, they would go take a bath. They feared and honored that name that much. Don't take his name in vain. Fourth one is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That law is in men's heart. Made a little change in that law, Brother Lonnie, because he said for you and me to be holy. Because God's holy. He means for you and me to walk in a way that's called the way of holiness. 35 and 8 of Isaiah. Fifth one is honor thy father and thy mother. Sixth one is thou shalt not kill. Seventh one is thou shalt not commit adultery. And the eighth one, thou shalt not steal. The ninth one is thou shalt not bear false witness. And the tenth one, thou shalt not covet. teach that to your little children. He told you to teach it to your grandchildren and their children. Set them up on your knee if you have to. But teach them, because that's the law that he puts in your heart. The only thing is, when the Holy Ghost puts it there, it's not like it was when it was written in the stone and handed to Moses to bring down to the people. When he got down there, he found them reveling. Just for the record, Moses is the only man living that ever broke all the Ten Commandments at one time. When he saw what was going on, he just threw them down, the stones that God had actually written with his finger, those Ten Commandments. Threw them down and broke them. But when he wrote those in your heart and in my heart by the Holy Ghost, he amplified them. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. I see people can't get along with their neighbor. Is that law in your heart? In mine? I got so much love, I'm sick. And I'm glad of it. A while back, I went on record teaching some doctrine that just about every preacher in the neighborhood and in the country scared to death to teach, and it had to be taught because God put it on my heart, and I did. Well, one of the fellows that wants to be a bishop, he's talking with me, you know. He says, "Now, Brother Brown, you be careful." Of course, he knew every one of them was trying to give me pressure about it. He says, "You be careful now. Don't get envy in your heart." I just laughed at him. I said, "Brother, I still got charity. Just because a fellow's ignorant and has closed his mind against obeying the Word of God don't mean I've got to get mad about it. I have got to give account to God for every deed, every idle word I have spoken, every deed I have done." Yeah, I kind of wanted to argue a little bit on the scripture the other day, and I told him, I said, "Listen, at my age and in the health I'm in, I know that while I'm talking to you here right now, the words that I say to you can very easily be the last words I speak to anybody in this world. Well, you rest assured I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm not going to do it in a fighting manner. Beloved, you and I are going to stand before the judgment of God, and we're going to give account for every idle word we have spoken." Now, when he put that law into our heart, he amplified it. First one, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, upon these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. Brother Greg, if you love God more than anything else, you'll serve him. But if there's something out there you love a little better, you'll serve him. And if we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, we'll treat him right. An old brother one time weighed about 300 pounds, about that big around. Brother Rogers, I never heard him preach but one time. Real jolly old boy. He stood up one time. Of course, being that big, he had to hitch his pants up real good. And he looked around at everybody. Smile real big. He said, "You know what? Some people, you can't get along with them if you live around them. But," says, "we got to get along." Said, "If we have to move out of the community to get along with them, move out." I like that. A few days later, they said he fell off the first round of a ladder. He was a carpenter. and killed himself. Just fell backwards off. I think he died with a heart attack myself, but anyway, he was dead. So his sermon that I heard a long time ago, if you got to move out of the community to live for God, move out. But I found out something. When a man's ways, the word of God said, pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'm thankful for a God like we have to serve. So we don't make graven images. We don't worship graven images. Third one is, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We know better than that. I see people, Sister Myrtle, that's got little bywords, and they don't seem to mind throwing a little byword with God's name in it. God put it in your heart. Don't do that. You don't have to be taught. Another thing that he does for the children of God, he gives us a testimony. And you know what he says that is? The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. When people are moved by the spirit of prophecy, they'll have a testimony. They'll make connection with the children of God. Because he said, his spirit maketh intercession with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Today, under the New Testament covenant, that law in your heart means for you to be holy, both in mind, spirit, and body. He made the scripture I would quote there, would be, there is a difference between a wife and a virgin. A wife careth for the things of the world, how that she may please her husband. A wife careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. A virgin careth for the things of the Lord, how they may be holy, both in spirit and in body. There's a little difference there. Sometimes the cares of the world hinder in a man and a woman's relationship as husband and wife. But beloved, a man has an obligation under this New Testament covenant, and also that was under the old law, but when he put it into our hearts with the Holy Ghost, he sealed it. And then a whole new sermon comes to my mind, exactly what happens when God seals something. But he sealed it in us. He says, for a man to provide for his family. If any provide not for their own, especially those of their own household, they've denied the faith. That law that he has put in our heart condemns us and is worse than an infidel. I looked in the Word of God and I try to find what is worse than an infidel. And one that is worse than an infidel is one, an infidel can be converted. But when one gets worse than an infidel, there's no conversion for him. Now I know why I wanted to read this other scripture over here. But I just have to be led by what God puts in my heart. When I come up here, I come up here for one thing. That is to be a help to the children of God, because God gave us a church here. And I'll tell you what he did. He gave us a church, and the devil has already got his forces in array to do everything he can to destroy it. I told the people at Valdemosa last night, I said, as far as I know, Valdemosa Springs, west, the next true holiness church is this church. And from there, I don't know of another one all the way around the world. I feel sure there are some, Brother Keith, but I don't know of them. And I've been an awful lot of places, and one of the things I do is kind of check out the churches. I've been in lots of them, but one time was enough. Sometimes over and over and over. Fourth one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Fifth one. Honor thy father and thy mother. Did I tell you what's worse than an infidel? There's a man that God give the Holy Ghost to, and they defile themselves by not obeying the word of God. And I, Lord permits it, I'll tell you what happens to him. I'll read it to you. Honor thy father and thy mother. We are living in a nation that has forsaken God. The Supreme Court, I don't know, must have done it yesterday because I heard it all day on the radio, ruled that sodomy is not an illegal act anymore in America. They fulfilled yesterday the prophecy of our Lord when they asked him, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? He said, beware lest any man deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and deceive many. Well, they already. Turn your television on, run across the channels. They got war now. They got little women up there just jumping in, slinging their arms and carrying on. But they're saying he's Jesus, he's Christ. And they're deceiving people because there's hundreds of them out there. God don't have one woman preacher in his church, and one of the greatest spirits that works with women when they get out of line is called the spirit of Jezebel. They want to teach. The thing that got the devil thrown out of heaven in the first place was he left his own habitation, that is the place God put him, and he began to intrude into the work that was not his to intrude into, and the angels of God went to war with him and kicked him out of heaven. And the word of God said, rejoice ye heavens. Listen to me. Rejoice ye heavens, for the accuser of our brethren, who sees not to accuse them before God day and night, is cast out. Heavens rejoice. Then he looked down on the earth, Brother Keith, and you know what he said? Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil is come unto you, having exceedingly great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. That's why people are out here strapping bombs on themselves, blowing themselves up just to get to kill somebody else. That's why the Supreme Court ruled that sodomy is no sin. That's why. But Jesus said, don't be deceived by these things. He says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Lot. That place called Sodom and Gomorrah is where the Sodomites got their name. God's law was that they be put to death. But they had legal rights in Sodom and Gomorrah till it was dangerous and literally death, life-threatening for an angel of God to walk down the street. We got that record. Y'all can read it for yourself. I'm not going to take up a lot of time with that. But the prophecy is fulfilled. We're standing in the last days. And as it was, Jesus said, in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Sixth chapter of Genesis, what does it say in the days of Noah? When the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and saw that they were fair and took unto themselves wives of all whom they chose. It was a fellow that wanted to be a preacher. He wanted to be a preacher so bad that I think maybe his wife and three or four women had decided they was going to make a preacher out of him. Just about run him. But he comes, I want to know, can you prove by the Bible that interracial marriage is wrong? I said, I can't read to you where interracial marriage is a sin. But I can show you where that's what started all the trouble that God caused God to destroy the whole world. The Word of God teaches marriage to be a sacred thing. And it's no institution for people that's a me person. Having got to be my way. Some of the boys I know say it's my way or the highway. Well, I got a better answer for them. It's God's way or hellfire. Just because I want it to be a way don't change anything. Thou shalt not kill. That's the sixth one. It's amplified in the New Testament. If I hate somebody, if I've got hate in my heart, I am guilty of murder, and so are you. So it's amplified, isn't it? The seventh one, thou shalt not commit adultery. Boy, that one is forever amplified, isn't it? Jesus said, if you just look upon a woman to lust after, you committed adultery in your heart. What's happened? You think the Holy Ghost is going to stay in the heart of an adulterer? Absolutely, positively, unequivocally not. Won't stay there. Eight, thou shalt not steal. There are people, well, I think that's pretty good. If we look upon something, lust after it, we stole it. My uncle was a Baptist preacher, and I loved that little old guy. Uncle Johnny, y'all know him. Smart. He had a job with the government, and he pretty good official over there when they built the atomic bomb. He worked over where they built that thing. And then he moved over to the Huntsville Arsenal, and he's pretty good official over there. Then he retired from that, and he started working with the company I worked with. And of course, you know how it is when you're a minister, you're working with a bunch of sinful folks. Well, they watch you like a hawk, and always trying to find something wrong with you. They was walking down the street, and there was a lady walking along there, and he just looked at her, and he says, you know, that's a beautiful woman. Boy, everybody started mocking him. Oh, preacher, listen to the preacher now. You know what the Bible said? He said, listen, I do know what the Bible said. He said, I love pretty cars. And said, a car comes down the road, and it's a beautiful car. I say, that's a beautiful car. That don't mean I'm lusting after it. If I wanted it bad enough, I got a perfect right to go buy it. And said, but that was a beautiful woman. That don't mean I'm lusting after her. She was a beautiful person. I don't want her. I got a wife. And he taught him a pretty good little lesson there. But there are people, beloved, who have eyes full of adultery. And they cannot cease from sin. They can't quit sinning. The Word of God said, being condemned of themselves, they condemn themselves. Old man standing outside, just an old moss head. Well, I'm one to talk. Standing outside the church, and he saw the women come in, and they were greeting each other with a Christian greeting called a holy kiss. The men were greeting each other with a holy kiss. old man standing over there said, if they'll kiss the women like that, I'll join them. Brother Alf explained to him, you ready for the grave? Done frosted over, ready for the grave, and can't be saved. Because you have eyes full of adultery and cannot quit sinning. There comes a time, listen, there comes a time when people have to clean up their act regardless. All is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Nothing else. No other sin in the world. There comes a time when he said some men are made eunuchs of men. Other men have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. I could give you examples of that in the Bible. I'm not going to. But he amplified these laws that he put in our heart. What did I get? Seventh one. Eighth one. Thou shalt not steal. Ninth one. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I was going through some of my jumbled up paperwork looking for something, and I run across a court martial where a young man received the Holy Ghost and was drafted into the army. Well, he went down there and told him, says, I can't take up arms. I just can't do it. Well, they court martialed him. Now, boys, I tell you what, you can be a man when it comes to your soul. You can straighten up and be a man, or you'll go to hell. That's how simple it is. And when that Holy Ghost departs from you, a while back there was an old boy that come to a little old meeting we had down there and called himself a preacher. And I talked a little bit from a 19th chapter of the Acts. He got all mad and riled up because he'd brought a little load down there with him. They was going slumming, I reckon. One of the women that had come with him walked over and knelt down beside of an old trunk that was sitting over there, and she just kept on praying. She received the Holy Ghost. That really made him mad. He started back home. He was ranting and raving. Said, I'm going to tell you right now, I got as much of the Holy Ghost as that kid has. I was a kid back then. Boy. Didn't see him again for a whole week. Over there at the little old church. And I was standing in the door. And the house was full. And I was standing up there in the door. Just propped up. And he walked up there. I looked at him. And conviction was all over him. He couldn't hardly hold his head up. I looked over at him, I just lifted up my heart to God. I said, Lord, if he'll make a start to you, will you give him the Holy Ghost? The old boy just threw his hands up and just fell on his knees. And the power of God just picked him up and kissed, slid him right across the house, all the way across. He come up on the other side rejoicing and speaking in tongues full of the Holy Ghost. And he followed around after me everywhere I'd go, just about it, go out and get a job or something. He'd go. After a while, he decided he had to have a woman. He was divorced. Just decided he had to have one. And he started acting plain silly. And you know what happened? It always happens. Because God don't tolerate that. And you know, it's the strangest thing. After he, when he corrupted himself, lost out with the Lord, he died a while back and he never did get married. You see, the devil made him think he had to have a wife and all that, and he didn't even want one after he had lost out with the Lord. But I told you that for a reason. I was going down, driving down the road, and I saw that man. As far as from here to the outside of the pavement, well, all the way across the interstate. I saw, or when the interstate, it was a 4-lane highway. I saw him walking alongside the road. And I saw his face, Sister Brown. You know what I saw? I'll read it to you, but I'll quote this part. A fearful look. A fearful look. Man, it grieved me. No hope. Absolutely no hope left for him. And you know how the Lord will just kind of pick you up when you get down. I was driving along there, and I went on down the road a little ways, and I met another car. He's coming up the other way. And his old brother Bobby Maples driving along there. You know what I did before I got home while I was driving? I wrote a poem about him. Because it just picked me up, I felt the joy of God. Because it hurt bad to see a friend just start acting silly and cost himself his soul and then died lost. What'd I get? Ninth one, thou shalt not bear false witness. And I was telling you about this kid, they put him in the army. Well, he went in as a conscientious objector, so they couldn't really prosecute him for that. So what the sergeant did, he walked up and says, his name was Bobby Atchley. He's been up here. Private Atchley, this is your rifle. So-and-so serial number and all. You take it. He says, no, sir, I can't take it. You refused a direct order. Locked him up. Young man just had the Holy Ghost a short while. Now he's in jail. Well, we prayed for him. And then I had to get on the stick and start talking to politicians and judges and lawyers and what have you. Now, I told you that for a reason. He told them over and over, I cannot bear weapons against a human being. I cannot bear those weapons. Now, he said, the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Hey, they didn't say, Bobby Atchley, Private Atchley, you got to make this up. You got to build this gun. You just got to carry it. Bear it. No, sir, I can't do it. And you know what? He didn't know what they were going to, before they got through, they were going to shoot him for not carrying that gun. Just a kid. Just received the Holy Ghost a few days ago. But I was right there with him, brother. When he received it, I wasn't about to let him go on that one by himself. After a while, after he suffered a while, I looked up and guess who's walking up? Big old smile on his face. Dishonorable discharge. But he's still honorable with the Lord. Now, you may not tell a lie to save your life, but if you carry one, you have broke the ninth commandment. I hear people telling them, Brother Johnny, and they fix it up so it'll sound like it's truth. Now, I really got a lot of confidence in the fellow that told me this. I believe he'd tell me the truth and lie like a dog. I don't believe my dogs lie, but that's an old saying. You carry the wrong tail on somebody, you just broke the ninth commandment, and God put that law in your heart, and you and I know better than doing it. Don't have it? He says we're without excuse. The tenth one, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. You know what that is? Desire that you can't rightly have. That's in your heart. I want to read the 10th chapter of Hebrews right here. Where am I at? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God, above. When he said, sacrifices and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had a pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, once for all. Now I want to go on over here. But this man, after he hath offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. There are movements now that will teach everything. And there is one that is quite prevalent in this town and in this part of the country, that God and Jesus is the same one. Same person. Look kind of strange to see a fellow sitting down on his own right hand. Brother John is sitting on the right hand of Brother Lonnie. A fool can see that. All right, I just finished up over there telling you about how he wrote the laws in our minds and hearts. And this, and his sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. A while back, I was having lunch with a minister, pastor of a church, and it was a fella come in, and that man was, he knew me, and he come in and sat down at the table with us, and he just started picking on the man, arguing with him about everything. And he left after a while, and I kind of apologized to him for the man doing that. And did you know that feller would not say anything bad against him at all? And guess who looked like a child of God and who didn't? Now he said, not forsaking, but of course he said, before he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So if we have a little discussion out here between ourselves, and we're going to talk about old brother Keith over there, let's make sure what we say will cause people to love him like we do and not sow a discord in their mind. A person that sows discord among God's children is in trouble. Serious trouble. God said these six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven that are abomination in him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and feet that be swift to run to mischief. A false witness that testifies lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates him. Now he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, and get this, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And here's the fearful look that I told you I saw in the man's face, but a certain fearful looking far of judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversary. And he goes on and makes an example. He said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. Under the Spirit of grace. When we go against the Word of God and the Spirit of grace as children of God. For we know that him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Sixth chapter. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh on off upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God's not unrighteous to forget your works and labors of love which ye have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same difference to the diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I feel that it is necessary. Let me see. Yeah, it's getting a little late. But I feel that it is necessary for some of you that had the opportunity to be here and those that didn't. I think you've probably got a tape of the order and the way God's church is carried on in order. I think it is good, especially you, brethren, that you kind of refresh your memory on that. I tell the people at home and wherever I go, if I say I'm a child of God, I've got a responsibility. And if you're an elder brother in the church, you got a responsibility. If you just don't consider yourself an elder, just a member of the church, you've got a responsibility, because we represent the best thing that God ever had to give to mankind, and that is his Spirit. We don't want to make a mess out of this. I would like to have had time to say a little bit about God's ordaining ministers or pastors over the church. He said to you as children of God to look around you. He said the fields are white. The harvest is white. I can't help but think about that when I go across this cotton country and I look out there and all the cotton's open. It looked like it snowed on it. Glad I don't have to pick cotton for a living anymore. But I can't help but think, I look out there, and I always remember, Brother Keith, the fields are white. And if they didn't have cotton pickers now, people too sorry to pick cotton just like me. He said, pray ye therefore the God of the harvest that God will send laborers into his harvest. Now what I want, I really wanted to talk on this tonight, but it's going to take too long, so what I want to tell you is this. There was a man called John. He was called the Apostle of Love. History tells us that they tried to kill him just about every way they could think of, and he just wouldn't die. So they finally took him and they put him off on an old little old volcano rock that they call an island of Patmos out there in the Aegean Sea, a little ways down out of Turkey. Y'all know where it's at, I guess. But they put him out there just to get him out of circulation, keep him from telling people about this good way. While he's out there, beloved, he began to do something. One morning, it was on the Lord's day, first day of the week. Spirit of God come on him, and he got over in the Spirit. And God began to show him things that's going to happen in the last days. But what he said to him, he said, now. He showed him a vision of seven candlesticks. Each one of these candlesticks had an angel. Each one of these candlesticks represented a church in Asia. And he told him, I'm just paraphrasing right here because I don't want to take up just another short few moments. He said, I'm the one that walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. The golden candlesticks, each one represented his church. Now, everything else in the world that claimed to be a church is not his church, brethren, unless he's walking in the midst of it. This is why. You see people sometimes, Danny, just walking around in the house of God, and it seems like everything is just dull and nothing's happening. See some poor old cripple sitting over there. They didn't give up on them. And all of a sudden the power of God falls and God moves on them and they get up and rejoice. You say, I never seen that. Boy, I have. Went over just having prayer meeting in the house with this old man, no woman, the children wouldn't even go to meeting with them. Mean, most of them. She hadn't walked 6 months sitting in a wheelchair. Just got sorry for her since she couldn't go to church. We just go over there and sing and pray with her. We got over there and got to singing and praying and looked over there and she was old. All of a sudden, the power of God got to shaking that old body, and she just was shaking, and the power of God just kept on just like he just grabbed her by each arm, just lifted her up and set her on her feet. And boy, here she is just bouncing around there, and directly she took one step away from that old wheelchair. And then she took another one. And man, yonder she went across the floor, and somebody grabbed that wheelchair, and she lived a long time after that, and she told me she never saw it again. Somebody grabbed that thing and got rid of it. I'm the one that walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He's walking among us today, beloved, and he knows every thought of our heart, sister. You know what I told people last night at home? And I tell them this about once or twice a month, I guess. See, I got them hemmed up down there. We have service a lot of times. I told them it's foolish to see a preacher have to get up and tell the people in the church to dress in modest apparel. The Holy Ghost tells you. And I heard these people talking one time trying to teach. They said, well, a woman's supposed to look like she's ashamed. Well, she is if she's not dressed decent. But they was kind of like the Iraqis. They wanted to stomp the women down. Beloved, the Holy Ghost teaches us to dress decent, to talk decent, to stay in decent places, and to behave ourselves and show love one for another. Now, Jesus said, I'm the one that's walking in amongst my churches. And then he said, now, I want you to write these things down. And I want y'all to think about this. Somebody said, boy, I wish the Lord just blessed me. Well, you know what? This book I'm talking to you about right now, Revelation, is the only book in the Bible where it's a blessing for you just to hear it and to read it and to obey it. It's a blessing for you. Promises it. First chapter. He says, now, I want you to write to the angel of the church. Now, who's he writing to? I want you to write to the angel of the church. First one is Ephesus. See if I can turn over there. Yeah. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Now, what I want to tell you about that. Right now, we don't have a pastor here. I'm doing what I can do. And I'm doing the work of a pastor. I'm doing the work right now of a bishop. That's what I'm doing. And I'm doing it because God gave me the responsibility to do it. Didn't take it because I wanted to or anything like that. But when he mentions an angel of the church, he is talking about a pastor that he has set over the church. Now, when God sends the Spirit, now, for a man to be ordained as pastor, the nearest thing I can compare it to is for him to is when people receive the Holy Ghost, because he receives a spirit that nobody else in that church has got. He is ordained a pastor. And I can go back, and I think if y'all listen to that order there, you'll find out where when God took the spirit that was on Moses and put it on those other people, there was a total change happen. So God sends a message to the pastor of the church at Ephesus and tells him all the good things they're doing. And he says, I'm against you because that you left your first love. And guess who's taking the heat for it? It's the pastor. He goes on though, and he tells him, so this you do have, the deeds of the Nicolaitans you hate. He says, which things I hate? The deeds of the Nicolaitans. I want you to listen to what the deeds of the Nicolaitans is. To start with, Nicol, it translated, means ruler or enslaver. Nicolaitans means the laity or the church. Now I want you to notice that this started out just as deeds. They were doing it. They were talking about it. On a little further over to another church, he said, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. In other words, started out people trying to exert authority over the church. They had no business doing it at all, doing just like the devil, intruding in the minister when it didn't belong to them. Then it become a doctrine, a teaching. See, deeds is one thing, but when it become a teaching, And he said, I hate it. God said it. And then after a while, we got over there. And I think I'm going to cover one more. And then I'm going to hush, I reckon. Because there are seven of them. And every one of them, we've got to beware of them like we would a rattlesnake. He said, I'm against you because you suffered that woman Jezebel to teach and to seduce my servants. Now, he said she seduced them into committing fornication. What Jezebel did was she was a heathen priestess of a heathen religion, and what she did is she seduced God's children into a false religion by trying to articulate her husband's affairs, caused him to be destroyed, who was the king Ahab, and caused other people to be killed, and she was causing them to follow a false religious order, and it would become spiritual fornication. And he said, I'm against you, Pastor. I'm against you because you allowed it. You permitted it. And the time come, I believe his name was Jehu, after Elijah was taken on, he came up, and she'd already been prophesied against. The dogs licked the blood of Jezebel at Jezreel. Jehu came up there, come driving in there like a maniac. He must have drove by like I used to, because they saw him coming. They said, that looked like Jehu, drive just like him. Come tearing in there. He got out and looked up there at this castle. Now here's the king's wife up there. Word of God commanded those people not to tire their head. In other words, that was a hairdo, a thing that they wasn't supposed to do. If we was going to make it real understandable, that come along a few years ago, they called it an afro. Even men run around with an afro. Well, she tired her head. She painted up her face. And she stood there with that impudent look. And she looked out the window. She was the queen. She'd already had Naboth over there killed. You know how she had him killed? Wasn't lied on him. And she didn't so much do the lying herself. She told some other folks, y'all go out and tell this tale on Naboth. Then they'll stone him for blaspheming. She stood up there and looked out the window. No way he would go up there and get out and looked up at her. Knowing quite well that the king's army could cut him down instantly. But God's protection was on him. You know what he did? He says, who's on my side? There was either two or three. The scripture says two or three eunuchs. Just walked up to the window where she was at. And then you know what he said? Throw her down. They just threw her down. There comes a time. There comes a time when some have to be thrown down to the dogs. Threw her down, and fulfilling the prophecy of Elijah, the dogs, her blood spattered on the side of the wall. She hit down there. They said, well, go get her and bury her because she's a king's daughter. They went down there. And all was left was the palms of her hand and her skull. The dogs had already eaten her. Beloved, I didn't make anybody shout tonight, and I don't like that, but I'll tell you what. This is a fearful, fearful thing. All of us are going to stand before the judgment of God. Tonight, I'm going to ask you, as children of God, if you got a husband, sister, that is a child of God, you ask him if you want to know, and I think a lot of times it's a little bit busybody, they won't know a lot of things, but you ask him if you want to know, and you take what he tells you. But for goodness sakes, don't start giving your opinion on how the church is supposed to be run. You don't know a thing about it. You don't even have a good idea on what God's got already out there ahead of us. You think you do? Because, listen, Sunday morning normally we got about 200, sometimes 250, and sometimes 300 people there at church. And I tell them, you don't know what you're talking about. Keep your mouth shut. And there's some of them sitting, well, I don't know a lot, but I know something. You don't know anything about what God's order is in the church, because you do not have the ordaining as being a pastor. And when you meddle in it, you put yourself in the same condition as Jezebel, and you put yourself in a position of being insulted and hurt. A while back, brother, I'm just trying my best to obey God. I hope that y'all won't poison me next time I come up and meet with you, but if you do, that don't matter, because it won't hurt me anyway. But I want to tell you something. Just a few nights ago, there was a voice spoke to me, woke me up. And I want to tell you what it said. It says, suppose what you're doing hinders our singing. You know what I answered? Suppose that I just turn it over to you and let you do it. How do you think it'll end up? You see, when one of the sisters, Sister Patsy, comes by and starts trying to tell me how something ought to go, it was one of them come up to me just a while back. Sister, listen, y'all think I'm lovable? I am. Boy, I love me pretty good. But you know what? Here comes this old bossy woman up there to me. Says, we're going to do this and we're going to do that out there in the fellowship hall. I said, no, you're not. Why? I said, because I'm not going to let you do it that way. That's why. I had another fella come up to me. I'm going to tell you how we're going to run. First, he went to my wife and told her, it won't be necessary for y'all to do this and that. This is the way I'm going to run the service. This is the way he was going to run the service. So after he got through telling everybody how you're going to run it, I took him aside. I says, walk out here. I didn't want anybody else to hear what I had to say to him, because he done blowed himself up to the place where he knew more about how it was supposed to be than anybody there. I said, now first I want you to think. Just think for a minute. What if I let you do that? You think what that would do to the other people, how that would make them feel. Well, I'm tired of petting them. Who has he been petting? He wants everybody to pet him. And I can tell you right now, if I can't get some things straightened out around here, y'all listen to me, I'm telling you something. Somebody might say, boy, this don't make any sense, but it makes perfect sense, because God knows what he's doing. He said, if I can't get some things straightened out around here, I'll go somewhere else. I said, son, let me tell you something. You go anywhere you want to church. But until you get some charity in your heart, God will never bless you anywhere. That's pretty hard. Kind of hard to see a grown man break down and start crying. Beloved, I'd already a whole lot rather see him down there on his face on the ground crying and weeping than out trying to teach people when God hadn't got his anointing on him to do it. He listen, Now, I'm going to add this. Sister Myrtle, I love you dearly, and you know it. But if you come by, boy, I better not, nobody better not come by and tell me you've been doing this now, because I'll be. But if you come by and you start telling me, what we need to do is this. What we need to do is this. What we need to do is this. Some of them women been calling me, telling me we ought to do this and we ought to do that. You better not tell me that. Because, listen, what I'd do is I'd say, Sister Morgan, tell me, what if I just turn this over to you and let you do it? What about all these, I had six women come up to me and said, we had a little meeting, we decided to do so and so. I says, who are we? They pointed out which one it was. I looked around and I says, where are the other 93? Well, they wasn't there. I said, don't that tell you something? They said, well, they ought to have been there. Well, we told them we was going to have a meeting. They won't ever tell me that again. You can rest assured. Who conducted that meeting? Now, I want you to think of something. Just, I'm picking on Sister Myrtle. I love her and she knows it. And I know she's not going to do this. But just say she did. And I say, okay, you go ahead and do that. You know what that would do to her? Do y'all know what that would do to her? No true children of God anywhere in the world would have a bit of confidence in her after that. You know why? Because she would be putting herself directly in a place that God said, I do not allow. And guess what? Everyone that joined up with her would be in the same shape. Sister, if you want to know about what's going on, ask your husband at home. Is there anything wrong with that? Sister Patsy said, I got a problem right now. I know. Sister Brown over here got a problem. God's got things fixed for you. But beloved, not one woman teacher in God's church. The example, work to cause peace, because the devil is after your soul just like he's after mine. I heard an old preacher one time say, boy, the devil really wants rid of me because I got a big mouth. I guess he does. But one thing is for sure, God's way is perfect. It's exactly right. And you don't have a single question. You don't have a single problem that the answer to it is not right here. Brother, am I right? So what did we do? We don't go home try to figure out something we can do. Old brother Chum McCutcheon, I think about him a lot. He had a thing where he said, don't avenge yourself. He said, that means if somebody shoots my dog, I don't shoot his cat. Old brother Tim, they had a little old dog he raised in the house and they petted it and it was like a baby to them. And there's some guys, anytime you see a fellow sits around his house under a tree on a stump or something shooting at tin cans and all, something wrong up there. Because you know what he'll do? He'll shoot your cat or he'll shoot a dog it comes to. It's something wrong with him. And that's what happened. Way back over there, saw there was a little old dog out in the yard and shot him and killed him. Well, old brother Tim had to swallow his pride. His wife was crying. I guess he is crying. His kid crying. Took the little dog out and buried him. That's all they could do. And hope someday I'll get up there and have a meeting right out there amongst those people, and I'd love to do it. This is the way of God we're talking about. And if you want to be a child of God, you have to repent. You have to become a servant of God. You can't serve God and the devil. If you're going to be a child of God, you have to serve God. You have to be born again. That is, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the Word of God, liveth and abideth forever. The Holy Ghost is... so many times, Sister Myrtle, people don't understand what the Holy Ghost is. It's the Holy Spirit. You see, one time if I thought lying would have got me out of trouble, I'd lie. Sometimes I lied for the fun of it. But when the Holy Ghost come into my life, I'd rather be shot right between the eyes than lie. I was in court a while back, and there's some people claiming to be great Christians was up there testifying, and I couldn't help it. I said, these people claim to be great Christians, and they up there lying under oath. The father said, be quiet. I said, yeah, but I don't understand this. These people are calling themselves great Christians, and they up there on a witness stand lying under oath. He said, be quiet. But they were. I said, anybody get up on the witness stand and lie for money? Lie on the witness stand under oath for money and still call themselves a Christian. They know it's nothing to them. The Word of God cuts them out and they know it. But then you know what? The Spirit that follows them, you can read about it in the first chapter of Romans. A false spirit takes up in their life, and they begin to justify everything they do. It's called a seducing, depraved spirit. Y'all pray for me. Pray one for another. Brother Johnny, y'all go ahead.